and welcome to Manx Radio's 2026 House of Keys General Election Candidate Interview Series. I'm our election producer, Amy Griffiths, and ahead of the island heading to the polls in September, we've invited all those standing to take part in a 30-minute interview with us. We want to know who they are, why they're standing, and why they think they're qualified to represent you in the House of Keys. Today, we're hearing from Sean Bostrom, who's standing in Garth. He's been interviewed by Lewis Foster.
Today, I'm talking to Sean Bostrom, who's standing for the first time in the constituency of Garth. And, well, Sean, we'll go through your manifesto in a moment. But first of all, who is Sean Bostrom? Tell us who you are and why you're standing.
Thank you, Lewis. More am I. I've lived on the Isle of Man 13 years, having been a massive fan of the island through the TT races originally. First came over as a visitor with my friends in 1991. So it's a long time ago, especially in your world. And I fell in love with the place. A couple of things occurred to me. Mid-90s, I thought, I'd like to live there. And I didn't really know why, I just felt a draw to the place. And also a sillier thing, I'd like to take part in that event. So I did the Manx Grand Prix in 2000. And that's the year I met wife. She came over with me as a visitor. And she said, oh, I can see why you like this place. And not long after that, I proposed to her. 13 years later, we moved over, and I've been a firefighter for the Ironman Fire Service since then, and Tracy's served as a nurse in that time, and we brought our son Bobby over with us. He was 10, and he went to school here as well. So, properly set down roots on the island.
You live in Laxey?
We live in Laxey now,
yes. Have you always lived in Laxey?
No. Since we moved over, I was a whole-time firefighter, and that means living and being on call in Douglas. So Douglas being the only full-time or whole-time, as it's referred to in the fire service, station. But we also have an obligation to be on call, so you need to live within Douglas. I retired from full-time fire service in December and then was re-employed as an on-call retained firefighter in Laxey in 7th of January. So I now do on-call for the fire service, and so I don't have a full-time job, so I can completely focus on this endeavour.
You're seeking election in Garth. You've not stood in an election before, so why now? And what makes you an ideal candidate for the House of Keys?
Okay. Well, since the last elections 5 years ago, it's lit a spark. You know, I saw a few people that I felt that were a little bit more like myself, that weren't necessarily career politicians. And in fact, funnily enough, in the meantime, other people in politics around the world have seemed to have been successful and got somewhere that you don't need a law degree or it's not a case of being better or in charge. You know, I always believe that a government should be there for the people, you know, not the people serving the government. And in my career as a firefighter, you know, that's what I've done. You know, it's a cliche, but we're there so that when someone's having the worst day of their life, we can turn up and try and make it better. So that's what I want to now transfer to this role. In the last few years in the fire service as well, I work with in community groups, with social workers, district nurses, and that sort of thing, and helped out a lot of people who were sort of more in society that were vulnerable. And I did find that meetings that I went to with social workers, that at times I would come out with something that maybe was a little bit left field, but it worked.
Right.
And that's given me confidence also.
You mentioned about some overseas influences. Can you tell us who they are particularly?
There's a certain president of the United States. You'd like to think that if he can do it, then he doesn't have any political background. I don't see why. I'd like to think I'm on the other end of the spectrum from him.
Would you align yourself politically with that?
Certainly not. I think I just sort of saw people. You know that I was a big fan of the president of Prime Minister even, of New Zealand, Miss Ardern. During COVID, she, a bit like Howard Quayle, made some sort of quite bold decisions, but they beat COVID at the time. And she seemed a very resilient person, and that sort of person I would like to model myself more on.
So, Sean, why not go for local government first? Why not stand for, say, GAF commissioners?
Sure. No, that's quite a fair question. My wife said that too. I don't know. I sort of had this goal. I'm going to retire from fire service in 5 years' time. This was back 5 years ago. And I saw that I've got resilience and the energy to put into government. I'll be, as everybody is, a newbie. You know, there is no kind of like a qualification that you can just come in and do it. You know, it's not like nursing or like the fire service. Again, a cringeworthy one. My wife's going to kill me for saying this, but I've been saying lately, when I joined the fire brigade in 1998, I wasn't a firefighter. And yet here we are, 28 years later, and I hope that it wouldn't take me 28 years to become of any use in Tynwald. But I do believe that, you know, that all we can do is go in there with enthusiasm, and I'll be hungry to learn.
How well do you understand the role of an MHK and how Parliament and government work?
I have learnt an awful lot in the last 3 or 4 months. It's something that's fascinated me. I'm very aware that I have been one of the sort of people that have advocated for trying to reduce the numbers of people in government. But the more I've learnt and read lately, that the less people you have making decisions and debating subjects, the thinner the product that comes out. So it's no good saying we only need 8 MHKs, because it'd be like having only 2 or 3 people in a jury, and you're not going to have enough influence from different backgrounds and get a quality decision made.
Do you think you're prepared to be an MHK, Sean?
I feel physically fit enough to take on the challenge. I like to think I've got thick enough skin to take some flak. I've prepared my family for that, because I feel that is my biggest worry. I'm very aware that in the last 5 years that people in the public eye receive a lot of very strong negative feedback, especially online, and I'm ready for that. It's not an issue for me. I always worry more about other people, to a fault. I find the greatest stresses in my life are actually worrying about other people's feelings and their lifestyle, how I can improve it. I really couldn't care less what people say or think about me.
Do you engage in social media? Would you consider yourself a keyboard warrior?
I wouldn't say keyboard warrior. And of late, I've had to close the visor down on my armour quite a bit, because very aware that people are becoming politically exposed person. You've got to be very careful what you comment on, what you like on social media, and also how you engage. But friends of mine will tell you I probably spend quite a bit of time online. I've purposely not created a second candidate page. What you see is what you get. So anybody can go and visit my Facebook page or my Instagram. They're both public. And from that, hopefully, you'll get a bit of an idea about me and my my values. I have put a few posts up recently that hopefully stand out as this is me and this is what I think, amongst all the recent TT stuff.
How do you think you will best engage with your constituents?
One of the greatest compliments I've ever had with in sort of clubs and the workplace, a few people have, and I'm quite embarrassed to say, but they have said it, they call me glue. I like to try and find how what brings us together. So as somebody once said, you know, most people have a lot more in common than what the difference is. And if we can sort of ignore what, or not ignore, but put aside what issues people don't like about certain subjects, and we see what they do like, then we can get people talking. And I believe very strongly that people, if they look at my manifesto and they'll say, well, how will you pay for this? How will you pay for that? I think it's a case of better communication. Very aware that we've got an aging demographic. That's I've already said one of my biggest concerns. I don't think Garth's any different to anywhere else on the island. So, but I do like to think that I engage well with younger as well as older people. Mm. I'm getting older. I'm 55 now, and a lot of my family, my friends and family are quite a bit older than me. Open to other people's opinions. Yeah.
And one thing I suppose can constituency residents will be looking for from a candidate is accessibility as well. They would want to be able to know where you are. If mm-hmm. say political surgeries, will mm-hmm. you be looking at holding them, or is it just a case of email me and I'll get back
to
you?
No, absolutely. I am now sort of really ramping up. I'm going to be turning up to the opening of a crisp packet. So, I'll be, whatever events are going in our area, I'll do my best to be there. If I'm successful in September, I've already made a pledge that I will hold regular surgeries. I put in my manifesto, and cringingly, I'll buy the biscuits. You know, come along. I'll make sure they're in different places. Garth's very big. So I'm glad I'm doing training for the parish walk at the moment, because I've got a lot of walking to do. But I will hold surgeries from Mackle to Abbeylands.
Sean, then, looking at your manifesto, you say you want to keep Manx youth on the island. Where are all the Manx youth going, first of all, and how are you going to keep them here?
Right, yeah, well, as I've said in there and on my flyers as well, we're going to have to look at ways to, I think the only way to please people is in their pockets, and there's no getting away from the fact that we are in a cost of living crisis. The world is in a cost of living crisis, but by all means, obviously, we need our youth to be well educated and develop as human beings. I wish to encourage people to either, if they go away and study, to come back and we'll look at ways of, in a fair way, to reduce their student debt, or if not, clear it. If they stay home, or come back home, I should say, and work on the islands and set down roots, and looking for tax breaks as well, so they can afford to get on the property ladder.
Tell us more about this tax break you've proposed to under 25s to help them buy their first home.
Yeah, just that. I would talk to Treasury, obviously, and to employers, but it seems to me it's a huge concern that our average age or median age has gone from 42 to 46 in the last 10 years, and it isn't slowing down. You know, it's going in that direction. It's great that people live longer now. You know, medical science has improved, but we need younger people here to be working and paying taxes to look after those older people. So it's in everybody's interest. Obviously, young families are watching their children grow up. They don't want to move. They want them to stay and families to stay together. But older people, you guys need someone to look after you. So to be paying taxes and giving good services.
You say work with UCM to offer more degree courses. Mm-hmm. Do you think that will take more money, won't it, for teachers and capacity? So how do you propose they do that?
I've got a few friends, actually, who are do work at UCM, are lecturers, and I've chatted to them. And yes, it's going to cost money, but I can't get away from the fact that we are going to go broke if people aren't here on the island doing good jobs and earning good money. and paying taxes on those wages in the long term. Otherwise, I just see an age implosion. You know, I had a friend who said they work in a club down in the south. It's I think a sailing club, and just this was 2 weeks ago, and she said, "Yeah, everybody in that bar is at least 75 years old," and 10 years from now, is that bar going to be full? So that a big concern.
I suppose one thing UCM can't offer is the experience of living in a UK city.
Absolutely.
So those that aren't interested in further education, mm-hmm. how do you propose we keep them on the island?
I already feel, I'm trying to, I can't get around the fact that I was very impressed, but even before we moved over, what this island has to offer. We've got in a population of 85,000 people, which is roughly the population of my hometown of Rugby, where I grew up, we've got 10 times more things to do, whether you're into the arts or into sport. We've got, I've already mentioned the TT and the Parish Walk, two of the biggest sporting events in the British Isles. On our island, on our doorstep, we've got incredible teams that go abroad. The ladies netball team have done great things lately, and cyclists, motorcyclists, we've got professional footballers. So we already have some fantastic sporting facilities on the island, as well as the arts. So there's so much to do. There's so much to get involved in.
Let's go into how you propose we cut the red tape and waste.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a politician, but I'm already beginning to feel a bit like one. It's a case of, I understand that Tynwald is all about suggesting new laws, debating new laws and bringing new laws in. But I do feel that a lot of the legislation we have needs streamlining, a bit of common sense approach. I don't want to quote anybody or a specific subject, but I was talking to a friend who's in the farming industry the other day, and he was telling me how he was trying to improve conditions for wildlife. And there was a certain project he had in mind, which was going to cost him money to do, but he felt like it was good for nature. But to do it, he had to ask permission from somebody in the same room as the person for Manx Wildlife Trust that he's trying to please. And it just seems to be counterproductive, this sort of approach that you can't... I need to do this, so we'll have some, so that newts and frogs will flourish. But we need to ask permission to do this good thing that's on his land anyway. So that was an example.
We need guidelines, though, don't we, Sean?
Definitely. Oh, yes. I mean, again, I had an interview. This is fresh in my mind. I had an interview with Manx Wildlife Trust the other day, and they came up with a question about... how will we sort of protect the environment? I do feel that regarding planning, it has to be strict and it has to have controls. Otherwise, people will just start building a house wherever they like because the view's nice and so on. But we do have a lot of brownfield sites. I've put it in my manifesto there about people talk about it, but we don't seem to do anything. The Summerland site, if it wasn't so foggy out the window now, we'd be able to see it.
You've suggested we find a corporate sponsor to screen it respectfully.
Yes, for the time being, if nothing else. I've just driven past it on the way here, and every time I drive by, again, being a firefighter, but living life, I'm fully aware of how people must feel, even now, it's over 50 years, but there's still people... walking about that have had friends and family they lost there. And I'm also over the years, a part-time job of mine has been being a tour guide, and you drive by and people go, what's that? And then you tell them the story. There was a tragedy. It was the biggest tragedy until Grenfell Tower in the British Isles, fire-wise. And you explain it to them. They go, oh, right. And you can see the look on their faces. They go, why don't they tidy it up? And you say, well, because it was the way it's engineered, some of the concrete sort of knitted intrinsically into the rock. You can't just chip it down and clean it off. But the least we could do is put some screening up like construction sites do. You know, right now there are sites on the island that are being developed, and just for the safety of the workers, as well as it just to look nice and tidy, that's what they do. I can't see why we can't just do that.
Drilling down a bit into more the finance side of your manifesto, you've mentioned stop pointless government junkets abroad.
Yes, I know I might be in trouble with existing friends who are incumbents, but...
How much would that save?
Well, I've no idea, but every now and then you hear about sort of trips here and trips there, which possibly could have been Zoom meetings. You know,
are international relations not important, though?
Definitely important. But I just feel that, as I say, you know, do we really need to always see people firsthand when we need to consider the budget for the hospital? You know, Nobles Hospital is currently in dire straits, and I'm all for meeting people from all over the world. You know, personally, I love travel, and I certainly believe travel is education. But I do wonder if we need to prioritise. Well, I don't wonder. I know we need to prioritise our finances. You know, it's very important to encourage people to come to our island, do business with us, and to do that, we've got to see them. But I do feel that a lot of money is getting wasted in the wrong direction.
Sean, I'm conscious we've spoken a lot about national issues and about government in particular. What about GARF? What are the main issues affecting GARF right now? What will you do for their constituents?
Sure. Well, I'm very aware because I live on Glen Road myself, where there's been some flooding issues over the years, that there's some great work been done and it's ongoing. I just want to ensure, you know, that will be maintained in the future. The good works that have been done there to avoid any flooding like we had back in 2019, but also have had whispers lately. Our road's horrendous. The potholes are, you know, actually you could say a bit like speed ramps. They do slow the traffic down, but they don't always slow things down. I think things could be improved there. The flooding is the main concern for me. We've got excellent GP surgery who've got bases there in Laxey and also at Onchan. That, you know, they need constant support for the future. And the pharmacy is fantastic. The pharmacist, When he chooses to retire, I hope that we've got something set for the future. I do need to go and talk to that gentleman because he was very well known in Manx politics in the past.
I'm assuming you've been door knocking so far.
Yes. Yeah.
What when you speak to the residents of Garth, what is the one topic on their mind?
Okay, right here it comes. Yeah, the wind turbines. Yeah,
right.
That seems to be the majority are very concerned about. About that, something that's going to be would be a huge impact visually that doesn't really to an extent, yeah, maybe financially benefit the island, but not anywhere near enough. My concern is that what I understand is that it will have no impact on our net zero target, and doesn't the. You know, doesn't benefit anything like it enough for the impact that we'll get from it.
Do you think it should be built?
Not as it's currently being proposed.
What would you change?
I've already been quoted as saying they're too big, too close and too many. So those three items, those three things. But on top of that, I just feel that... I did want to talk about food security. I feel that it's not energy security for us either. That what's being produced or what would be produced by them when they'd be up and running would be going to the UK and not for us. If we had a wind farm that wasn't so imposing and we benefited as an island from it and say we got massively reduced electricity bills, that not only would be good for the population, but then businesses would possibly relocate to the island because they'll have lower bills. That would bring employment to the island. And going back to my aging population, maybe specialists working for those companies. And so that would all be very good, but that isn't what's on the table.
On a national level, the onshore wind farm, Caer Vi, do you think that's a good proposal?
Again, it's a sticky subject. I know people who live down that way who certainly don't believe so. I've got family friends who, in fact, now I can think of two or three more people who I know are not in favour. So I feel that wind farms aren't necessarily, they're great. A wind turbine, on principle, great thing. Stands there, the wind blows it round, it creates energy. Just like a hamster going around a wheel. But I believe that we've got other options. I've suggested that the Irish government do a scheme at the moment where they allow people to buy solar panels for the roofs of their houses and over a 10-year interest-free scheme. I was working with an Irish friend just last week, and he said that his monthly bill now, including paying back for those panels, is less than what his old electricity bill was. So no-brainer as far as he was concerned. I can't see how that could really cost us anything if we could introduce that sort of scheme. And then we would have energy security. Yes, they don't work at night, but the other thing is the tidal systems. They are coming. They do exist, and I believe that they're like everything, they'll only get better the more people actually implement them.
Now, Sean, I should say we've got 2 minutes to go.
Wow.
We will be hearing more from you at our candidate debates down the line.
Mm-hmm.
But just for the last few moments, then tell us why somebody in Garth should vote for you.
Okay, I'm approachable, enthusiastic. I will never hide, like all candidates, my phone number and contact details will be very public. My wife's already cringing about the banner that's going to be on the front lawn. And I've currently got the energy physically. Again, I can hear colleagues giggling on the other side of the radio. But we've got fitness tests coming into the fire service, and I expect to pass that. I've got the energy and the resilience.
And what can you do then for anyone in Garth? What can you do for them?
Listen to them. And if it's a good idea, I will do my level best to go forward with their concerns and their requests. And take advice from experts.
And you're ready to be an MHK, Sean?
Absolutely. Yeah, terrified at the very idea of it, but I feel that it's sort of, I'm ready for this next chapter in my life.
That was Sean Bostrom, who's hoping to represent Garth. Also standing in the constituency are Anthony Allen, Daphne Kane, Aisling Creer, Vicky Hewison, Peter Kameen and Martin Perkins. This interview, along with all the others recorded as part of this series, will be available shortly after broadcast from your usual podcast provider. To find out more about the general election, which is taking place on Thursday the 24th of September, then, as always, we have everything you need to know on our dedicated website, which you can find at manxradio.com.